The market in 2023 is forcing investors to be buttoned up and review their financial portfolios like never before. Trusted friends of the Todd Stern Show, Legacy Precious Metals, they can help to advise you on the best options to invest in gold and silver, which both provide stability in times of market crisis. I know this company well, so speak directly to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals by calling 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com. Welcome to the Todd Stern Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Hope you're doing good. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Wow, we've got some great guests coming up a little bit later in the show. You're going to want to stick around for that. Also, we're following some developments up on Capitol Hill where Kevin McCarthy, there's been some controversy over the past 24 hours or so. Kevin McCarthy says he's got the votes to shove through very quickly a plan that would raise the debt ceiling. Now, look, if this is, and my concern here is this is happening so fast that you've got some Republicans out there, not House Freedom Caucus folks, mind you, but you have other Republicans, including Congresswoman Nancy Mace out of South Carolina, who's basically a conservative Democrat. And then you've got our good friend, Congressman Tim Burchett from right here in Tennessee, where we broadcast this national radio program. And they're among those saying, hey, what, Nelly, hold everything, huh? They're saying this thing is being shoved through, and they haven't had a chance to really talk about this. But the House is scheduled to vote sometime today to raise the debt ceiling. Now, there are some spending cuts connected to this, but we don't have the details. So that's my concern, is all of this is being done in closed doors. House Rules Committee Chairman Tom Cole from Oklahoma told reporters that he does have the votes. This is after a six-hour hearing overnight to get the bill ready for the floor. And I think we've all been down this road before, ladies and gentlemen, where lawmakers, when they stay overnight in the Capitol, very bad things happen to your wallet and sometimes to the interns. No, I'm just kidding. But nothing good ever happens after dark at the U.S. Capitol. I think we can all agree to that. So we're going to be getting into that. We're going to be paying very close attention. We understand that GOP leaders tweaked the bill overnight because there were some concerns. The change, and a lot of this has to do with biofuel. So I don't want to get too terribly into the weeds here, but a lot of the Midwestern Republicans had some issues with ethanol production and some of the taxes involved there. But, folks, I'm telling you, the whole reason that we elected Republicans was so they would not raise the debt ceiling and so that we could get spending under control. Now, if Biden doesn't want to live by that, tough cookies, because the Republicans control the purse strings in the House of Representatives. So it frustrates me that we're going down this path once again. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. And so we'll be taking your calls about this. Wow. Where else are we going? Well, we've got this story out of the Wall Street Journal. And a lot of people are really upset about Fox News dumping Tucker Carlson. So I want to talk briefly about this and get your take, because I need to posit a theory with you, an idea, because right now nobody's talking. But we do know this. We can confirm these details. Tucker's staff showed up Monday expecting to go to work on a show for Monday night. We know for a fact that Tucker got a phone call, said, don't even bother coming to the office. You're done. Now, Tucker's making, give or take, $20 million a year. A lot of money. A lot of money. Based on all the text messages that have come out as a result of the Dominion lawsuit, it wasn't so much that Tucker was involved in the Dominion stuff, because he really wasn't. But what was interesting was the vitriol, the language that was used in a lot of these emails and these text messages. So is it possible, is it remotely possible that maybe all of us got this wrong? Wall Street Journal has a story up. Tucker Carlson's vulgar offensive messages about colleagues helped seal his fate at Fox News. According to the information, and all of this is out there, so this is really not in dispute. I mean, Tucker said what he said in these messages, but Tucker called a senior female executive the C word in a redacted missive. And it turns out that apparently Carlson did not want that text message redacted. He wanted people to know about it. So I want to throw this out there, and just because of how quickly this happened and how hush-hush on the QT everything has been, is it possible that this really is about a rogue employee who just would not follow orders? Is it possible that that could be what this is really all about? Because otherwise, it makes absolutely no sense for Fox to jettison the most popular person on their channel. It makes absolutely no sense financially. It makes no sense among their viewership. I mean, the numbers coming out from the Monday night show are dramatically low. I mean, it took a nosedive. And I suspect Tuesday's numbers, when they come out later today, are going to be just as bad, if not worse. So the Wall Street Journal is owned, of course, by Rupert Murdoch. So you've got to factor all of this in, that they're trying to get their side of the story out. And they've done a pretty awful job, right? Somebody needs to, but maybe because of HR rules, they're not allowed to do that. But I just want you to think about something for a moment. All right, let's just say that you own a TV network and you tell your staff, your on-air host, all right, you're able, we're going to give you a lot of leeway, but here's some things you're not allowed to do. As the owner of the TV station, you get to make that decision. I mean, you own it. You pay the bills. You pay people's salaries. So you get to decide what happens on your TV channel. Now, it seems to me the best kind of a TV station owner or radio station owner is to say, all right, I'm going to trust you guys. You go out there. Here are some parameters. All right, we don't want you to go off the rails here, but you got to protect our license. We don't want to get sued. We don't want to get in trouble with the FCC. So you keep us going and you're good. But what if you have an employee, let's say it's the most popular host you've got, and that host continues to defy you, refuses to listen to anything management tells him to do, and basically goes rogue? At what point do you say, well, you know what? This guy makes us a lot of money. On the other hand, this is toxic. At what point do you say, you know what, we're done here? Is that possibly what could have happened? I mean, does Tucker Carlson, and this is a legitimate question, does Tucker Carlson have a right to tell Rupert Murdoch what to do with the network that Rupert Murdoch owns? Now, I'm not defending Fox News at all. I think they've handled this incredibly poorly. And I suspect if it was some sort of a personnel issue, they could have worked it out. There could have been some meeting of the minds. But you can't have a rogue employee constantly defying you. So what happens, and by the way, and that would go for the whole Dominion thing. I mean, when you read these text messages from the talent, folks, I'm telling you, if I was the owner of Fox News Channel, yeah, I would have a problem with that. So you've got, let's just say you've got a primetime host and they're out there saying that they believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, they've got all this proof that Dominion did X, Y, or Z. That's what they're saying on the air, but off the air, and they've got all the text messages saying, yeah, we really don't believe that, but you know what? Our viewers want us to believe that, so we're gonna get out there. I would be enraged, because you know who's going to be paying that bill? It's the owner of Fox News. It's not going to be the host. Do you see where I'm going with all this? So I'm just wondering if this is really just about a personnel matter, and there's really nothing larger here. Is that a possibility? Because I can't believe that Fox is so stupid as to get rid of their most popular and, quite frankly, the most trusted host they have right now. All right, 844-747-8868. We're going to take your calls on that. Also, this debt ceiling. Do you have a problem with the Republicans raising the debt ceiling? 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern Radio Program. Happy to have you with us today. And again, we're going to be taking your calls on this debt ceiling. Do you want Republicans, do you want your representative in the House to raise the debt ceiling? Is it absolutely necessary? Now, I know you're going to have all of the folks in the mainstream media squawking about how it's going to be the end of the world as we know it. The country's going to collapse. No, I don't think it will. And quite frankly, there are many government employees that are they're irrelevant. We don't need them. Look, the day-to-day affairs of this nation will go on. But until we can elect rock-solid conservative, fiscal conservative Republicans to Capitol Hill, I just don't think we're ever going to be able to get this under control. I mean, just out-of-control spending. And again, we've got a story coming up in a few moments. Republicans are getting ready to abandon traditional family values, and I'm going to explain that in just a moment. But let me say, once that happens, the only thing left that separates us and the Democrats is fiscal responsibility. And if we keep raising the debt ceiling, if we keep this out-of-control spending going on, we're going to be just as bad, if not worse, than the Democrats. 844-747-8868. Again, our toll-free telephone number, that's 844-747-8868. So the Pentagon is celebrating the demise of Tucker Carlson. And I cannot tell you how dangerous this is. So Politico is reporting that Pentagon officials are celebrating and cheering the firing of Tucker Carlson. They say that Tucker has been bad for business. They say that Tucker has insulted the Pentagon far too many times. Well, you know what? The Pentagon deserved to be insulted. The fact of the matter is, we are not capable at this very moment of fighting a war with Russia or China. And we know that based on the number of lawmakers, all military veterans who have been on this program, and they said, Todd, you know, we're seeing this in real time. They are spending so much effort, so much money, not on learning how to kill the Chinese or the Russians, but they're spending this money on pronoun confusion, on gender equality, on the white privilege nonsense, critical race theory, Black Lives Matter, turning our fighting men and women into social justice warriors. Reading from Politico, Carlson's criticism of Biden-era personnel policies appealed to many of the rank and file, which is not true, which has a large block of conservative members. But at the upper levels of the Defense Department, news of Carlson's firing was met with delight and outright glee. And by the way, all of these DOD officials are unnamed. They're anonymous. They're gutless, evil cowards. And what was it, General Milley? I guarantee you he's one of the people quoted. Quote, we're a better country without him bagging on our military every night in front of hundreds of thousands of people, one senior DOD official said. Pardon me, DOD official, it was millions, millions of people. Another said, good riddance. Asked to respond to the news that DOD officials are pleased by his departure, Carlson responded by text message. Ha, I'm sure. He declined further comment. So the fact of the matter is, given the opportunity, you would have people within the military who would be more than happy to shut down any sort of speech they disagree with. Carlson's remarks several months ago when he went after female service members, these are the pregnant women in the fighter jets, prompted a rare rebuke from Pentagon spokes dude John Kirby. But here's where we are, folks. They're more concerned about maternity flight suits and new hairstyles than they are learning how to kill the enemy. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Chris in North Carolina. WSIC, our great station there. Hi, Chris. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. And I was calling about the McCarthy, but first I'd like to give my input on Tucker Carlson. If you believe that they fired him because he has called people names, I got some swamp land to sell you. Because all you got to do is ask yourself, who is happy? You just been naming off the Pentagon, all the Biden administration. They fired him because he released those tapes.
So you think that's it?
I think absolutely that's it. Where's the rest of the tapes? And keep in mind, Todd, the Republicans have done forgot about the ones he released. So it's a joke. It's a joke of him. We know why they got rid of him. And I was disappointed that you started your monologue with Fox. Look on Fox News. They're getting rid of him because they called some people some names.
Chris, do you listen? Well, do you actually listen to the opening monologue, Chris? Or are you just picking and choosing what you listen to? Because I said,
No.
I'm going to talk, and then you'll have a chance. But you're going to be quiet right now. Let me finish my thought. I said this could be one theory because none of this makes any sense. But let me ask you this, Chris. Are you self-employed or do you work for somebody?
I work for somebody.
All right. Male or female?
Male.
All right. Well, let's just say for the sake of it that it was a female you worked for. You go up to your boss and you call your boss the C word. You think you're going to have a job at the end of the day?
Well, I can't say because I would never say such a thing.
Well, you know what? Tucker Carlson did.
That ain't what got him fired.
But it would get you fired. I own my own business.
Tucker Carlson. Not if I was making my company millions of dollars, it would.
All right. And that's the question I was asking, Chris. So, again, none of this makes any sense. But if you're going up there to your boss and you're calling your female boss the C word and you're telling your colleagues about it, I mean, at some point, if I'm the boss, you're out of there.
Well, that's fine. I just don't think with all the other stuff that's went on, you got folks, listen, all the folks, CNN, what they've done. So I just don't believe that, and that's fine. Now, the McCarthy deal. I called back when McCarthy got in. I told you they're going to raise the debt ceiling. And your response was, if the Republicans raise the debt ceiling, McCarthy needs to be throughout.
That's right.
And we agree with that.
That's
but
right.
It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen, Tom.
It needs to happen.
So I agree with you, sir. And I hope you know I agree with what you're saying. And I'm right with you. But it's not going to happen, Todd. And, you know, I listen to you every day, and I really enjoy listening to you. After Rush, you're the only one I listen to because you tell it like it is. But at some point, after saying things over and over and over again, and the Republicans never doing anything but stabbing us in the back, I don't know what we're supposed to do.
Chris, we're going to have to leave it there. You can hear the music. We got to scoot out. Look, I hear you. And again, if they raise that debt ceiling, I'm going to be calling for McCarthy to go. Folks, your thoughts, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Just when you thought it could not get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. And for my listeners, an exclusive. The MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes for the buy one, get one free offer and enter the promo code Starnes. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern's radio program. Good to have you with us. By the way, Geraldo just posted something a few moments ago. You know, it's interesting. That guy still has a job at Fox News, but not Tucker Carlson. Geraldo says, I don't wish ill on anybody, but there is no doubt, as I said at the time, Tucker Carlson's perverse January 6th conspiracy theory was BS. He actually wrote it out on Twitter. Having lost the election, President Trump incited an insurrection that sought to undermine our constitutional process. Geraldo has no brain. Folks, there was more stuff in Al Capone's vault than there is in Geraldo's brain. But the fact of the matter is, Geraldo is allowed to go out there, and now Fox is actually allowing their staff to go out there and openly attack Tucker Carlson. That's what's going on here. Now, Wall Street Journal says the problem they feared was that Tucker was getting bigger than Fox News. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Tucker Carlson was bigger than Fox News? And look, when you've got a network like that, that's a management problem. If you can't control your talent, that's on you. But it's a fair thing. I mean, you can't have one person be bigger than the entire network. And that's why I said on Monday that this was going to be a massive jolt to the network, and it would be worse financially and worse in a viewership loss than what happened with Bill O'Reilly. And the reason why is there was only one show on the entire network that was making headlines, and that show was Tucker Carlson's show. I mean, nobody else. Nobody else. So the Wall Street Journal, which, again, is acting as the mouthpiece here for Rupert Murdoch, so we're able to get a glimpse into their thinking here. They were upset, concerned, because Tucker went after this Tennessee lawmaker, Justin Pearson, and we talked about this on our own radio show because this guy, Justin Pearson, is a state representative from Memphis, and he's that guy with the big power fro who literally incited a riot at the state capitol in Tennessee. And we played some audio for you of this guy at college where he talked whiter than most white people. But now he's like MLK cosplayer Malcolm X. And Tucker called this guy out and suggested that the only reason he got into a good college was because of his skin color. Look, that's a fair statement, fair game. Fox got upset about that. They said that was veiled racism. No, it's not veiled racism. It's actually a valid thought. I mean, if you're going to put yourself out there as a black person and suggest every person who disagrees with you is a racist, that's fair game. So I don't have a problem with that. Let's go to Sean in North Carolina, WSIC. Hi, Sean. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks.
Basically, when I heard that Fox and Dominion settled right before the cold court thing got rolling, I think that's the smoking gun. That's why they got rid of them. They probably said one of the things we'll agree to throw this thing out with you, Fox. You pay us a ton of money and you get rid of him because he has a mouth because, again, he stood up. And I'll be quite honest with you. Out of everything that I've seen, the shenanigans, they're all covering up for this because if they came out and said that election was stolen, you know how many people, you know, should be in jail.
Yeah, look, you know, if that's the case, they would have been better off just paying the whole thing. I mean, because they've lost over $1 billion, so they should have just taken this to the judge and let's go to trial.
But again, I think that's what I would have did. But I think they did, because remember when Tucker started doing that whole show when he was starting to release those tapes, Chucky Schumer jumped out there and ripped apart Murdoch and said he needs to pull that and needs to shut him down. I'm sure a phone call went over and said, you want us to do something to you and destroy you, get rid of him. And that's what I think. You know, it's sad because he was one of, you know, like you. You know, you just shoot from the hip and you don't care. And again, you know, they're just, you know, they don't want us opening our mouths anymore. They just basically, they want to go with China and, you know, make us all Chinese.
Well, and that's a story. We've got a great, great expert on China coming on later this week. And that's going to be a powerful. Look, that's the bigger story. And we're going to get into that when we talk to our China expert. But, Sean, I appreciate that call. Sure. Look, you know, another thing here. And Sean says, no, this is about Dominion. I just don't think it is. Otherwise, they would have had to have fired Maria Bartiromo and Judge Jeanine. So this is either a personnel issue or they're just tired of him going rogue and he won't listen to anybody. He was doing his own thing. And they said, fine, if you want to do your own thing, go do your own thing on somebody else's dime. I mean, it could be something as simple as that. But there's also this story out that folks are making the comparison. Tucker Carlson bringing up Pfizer. You also had James O'Keefe going after Pfizer, and now both of them are out of jobs. So could the China virus be at play here and the coverage of that? It's dangerous what's happening, and the lack of an explanation is even more disturbing because you have all these theories, and people just start thinking, and they're wondering what the heck is going on here. Let's go to Steve in Arkansas, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. I want to comment on the debt ceiling a little bit and put it in context a little bit. They are charging Donald Trump, I believe, or are investigating a case in New York on him overvaluing some real estate to overvalue his collateral on loans and possibly wanting to charge him with crimes or putting him in prison. And then our own government turns around and we're overvaluing this country when we're $30-something trillion in debt. What's the difference? Isn't that overvaluing your collateral?
It's a great point. And by the way, Steve, I got to read this to you. This is from a liberal website, The Recount. Midnight in Washington. Where are the House Republicans? In a back room in the Rules Committee, doors closed, literally a cigar smoke-filled room, cutting deals they say would bankrupt the American people. The American people already bankrupt, Steve. I mean, this is insane. But again, why are we not? Where is the transparency that Kevin McCarthy was talking about?
We're always screaming about two sets of laws, two sets of legislative laws, one for the public and one for the people in the government. Well, we got the same thing with economics. There's two sets of economic laws that are going on in this country. And somebody explain to me why they get a special set of economic laws.
It's a great question, Steve. It's a great question. We'll see how this plays out. But they were in that room till at least 2 o'clock in the morning, House Rules Committee. So again, nothing good happens in the dark of night in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. All right. I wouldn't want to make a bet on Republicans standing their ground. I'm 70 years old, and I haven't seen it yet.
I'm with you on that, but I'm hoping, and if McCarthy, if he doesn't do the right thing, House Freedom Caucus, they're supposed to call for a vote to vacate the chair.
So the question is,
will House Freedom Caucus step up and do what needs to be done? Steve, appreciate the call. Thank you for listening. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Well, we got this item from Essex Junction, Vermont. Anybody been there? They've got a middle school, and the school district sent a letter to parents, and we've got a copy of the letter. Somebody sent us a copy of the letter. It's time for the children to attend the annual science and health unit. That's where you learn about the birds and the bees, boys and girls. But anyway, the school district says, no. We have some changes to make, boys and girls, mommies and daddies. We've got some changes to make in the annual science and health unit. Now, they are going to have to use gender-inclusive language moving forward, and that's because the school district has an equity policy. So, instead of saying boy or man, the children, the fifth graders, will have to say person who produces sperm. So, I'm not making this up. This is in the letter that we have. Yes, I've got it's right here. This is the letter. It says instead of saying girl or female, the kids are going to have to say person who produces eggs. That's can you imagine the teacher says, excuse me, person who produces eggs, could you please be quiet? Thank you. Thank you. Or, all right, hey, you over there, little Billy, hey, all right, listen up. And you can't say young man anymore. You have to say, listen up, young person who produces sperm. That's a little awkward. You know what's going to happen in the fifth grade class? Every time the teacher says sperm or eggs,
teacher said sperm.
I'm not sure they've really thought this through. But isn't it really appalling what's happening in our public schools? I mean, they're cramming down this gender-neutral garbage down the throats of the kids. And you know moms and dads are just sick and tired of this nonsense. Remember Jack and Jill go up the hill to fetch a pail of water. When they come back down, they're gender-neutral. I'm reminded of a song. And again, just, you know, all the liberals, they love Mr. Rogers.
Oh, he was such a good man. He was so good to all of us. He was a gentle soul.
Yeah, okay. Well, Mr. Rogers sang a song many years ago. And I'm telling you, this song is going to trigger the liberals. Because Mr. Rogers tells it like it is.
Boys are boys from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Girls are girls right from the start. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. Only girls can be the mummies. Only boys can grow up and be the daddies. Yes, sir, everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. I think you're a special person.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Rogers.
And I like your ins and outside.
Well, I like yours,
everybody's
too.
Fancy.
Even though you're dead.
Everybody's fine. Your body's fancy. And so is mine.
There you go. So simple, ladies and gentlemen, that even a preschooler can understand. I mean, it really is that simple. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, going to the phones, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Charlie Kirk here for Lone Star Transfer. Many timeshare owners are upset that their yearly dues continue to increase. with an A-plus rating at the Better Business Bureau and over 900 five-star testimonials, Lone Star Transfer is the only company you could trust, guaranteeing the release of all liability to your timeshare in writing and a specific time frame. My friends have helped over 18,000 owners legally and permanently get out. Start the new year off right with a free no-obligation consultation at 844-310-3116 or at LoneStarTransfer.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. New York Times posting a piece just a few moments ago. They're saying that there is a lot of turmoil within the Republican caucus over this vote. Now, according to McCarthy, he's agreed to raise the debt ceiling, but the measure would also cut federal spending by nearly 14% over a decade. It would also undo Biden's clean energy tax credit, student loan cancellation plan, and impose stricter work requirements for federal nutrition and health programs. Certainly dead on arrival in the Senate, and Biden's advisors have warned that even if it got through, it would get a veto. But what do you want the Republicans to do here? Should they raise the debt ceiling? 844-747-8868. Let's go to Matthew, who wants to weigh in on this school pronoun story. Matthew, what's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Todd. I think that for your other question, I think that's a brilliant move because it'll get vetoed in the Senate. You know, the Senate won't take it up, and then they can put the Democrats as the party of no. It's a volatile thing, but at the end of the day, this whole thing about budget, I'm conservative, you're conservative. The one thing every politician, even if they're ideologically opposed, they generally like to spend our money. So I just always look at it with like a grain of salt. I'm just like, yeah, whatever. They're just going to spend money. But
all right, well, Matthew, let me jump in because we are running out of time here. But I appreciate you calling in, and it's a good point. Is that they're spending like drunken Democrats. And we can't have that, can we? So, Matthew from Alaska, appreciate that telephone call. So, anyway, even the New York Times understands what's going on here. I have to go back to something the Freedom Caucus guys said back in the day. This is back in January, all right? January. When remember, we had all the votes, and McCarthy, the House Freedom Caucus, said that McCarthy would have to commit to shut down the government rather than raise the debt ceiling, a non-negotiable item. That's what Congressman Ralph Norman from South Carolina said, right? So what changed? That's what I want to know. What changed? And by the way, what guarantees are there that we will get those reductions in spending? What happens if the Republicans get voted out of power in 2024 in the House? What then? So I say, let's take our stand now while we can, while we have the ability to do what needs to be done. Let's stop kicking the can down the road. Let's deal with the here and now. What's wrong with that? But again, they are expecting a vote today. And according to McCarthy, they've got the votes. They have the votes. We will see. But there's going to be a lot of unhappy conservatives out there, if in fact that's the case. The headline from CNN, House Republicans race toward debt ceiling vote after 11th hour rewrite. Are they going to give people enough time to actually read this thing? Is that going to happen, or are we just going to go back to the old Pelosi method of you got to pass the bill before you can know what's in it? Is that what we're going to do? Steve Scalise, the House Majority Leader, says the good news is we can vote as early as today. So why? Why the rush? That's what I want to know. Why are McCarthy and Scalise, why are they pushing for an immediate vote when this thing has just gotten worked out in the wee hours of the morning? Smells to me like something fishy's going on here. But again, the Senate Democrats say whatever the Republicans do is dead on arrival. So it seems to me that they're wasting their time. We cut and we make massive cuts. That's the power that the Republicans have, and they ought to use it. All right, we got to take a quick break here. Coming up, our good friend Congressman Andy Harris from Maryland is going to drop by. Congressman Chris Stewart will be here as well. We'll be taking your calls, monitoring whatever is happening in the House of Representatives as the Republicans prepare, at least the information we're getting, to raise the debt ceiling. You need to be calling your Republican lawmakers and tell them to hold the line, ladies and gentlemen. Hold the line. All right, ToddStearns.com, our website. We'll keep you updated there as well. We'll be right back, America.
Charlie Kirk here for Lone Star Transfer. Many timeshare owners are upset that their yearly dues continue to increase. With an A-plus rating at the Better Business Bureau and over 900 five-star testimonials, Lone Star Transfer is the only company you could trust, guaranteeing the release of all liability to your timeshare in writing and a specific time frame. My friends have helped over 18,000 owners legally and permanently get out. Start the new year off right with a free no-obligation consultation at 844-310-3116 or at LoneStarTransfer.com.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. By the way, the Daily Mail tracked down Tucker Carlson. This is great. Tucker was off on a romantic date night with his wife, Susan, and he told the Daily Mail that he is enjoying his retirement. They said, what's coming up next? He said, appetizers plus entree. So good for you. Good for you, Tucker. Daily Mail says Tucker was blindsided by all of this, but they say he looks like a man without a care in the world. And I say good for you. Carlson, age 53, said retirement is going great so far as he left his $5.5 million beach home in Boca Grande, Florida. So that must be a pretty nice house. Says, I haven't eaten dinner with my wife on a weeknight in 7 years. So good for you. Good for you, Tucker Carlson. All right, folks, we are paying very close attention to the House of Representatives. During the night hours while you were sleeping, Republicans were conspiring behind closed doors to come up with some sort of a deal to raise the debt ceiling. We haven't heard any word from the House Freedom Caucus over the plans, but Steve Scalise, who is the majority leader for Republicans, says they've got the votes to move this thing through. Meanwhile, Senate Democrats say it's dead on arrival. So we'll keep you updated on the very latest there. Also coming up this hour, we have Congressman Andy Harris, who's going to be here. Very, very significant concerns about President Biden's cognitive abilities. So we'll be talking to him about that as well. All right. We've got a lot on the agenda today. And I want to start with Pete Buttigieg. So Buttigieg is having some issues these days, and he is under fire over some comments he made about female crash dummies. You know, one of the lawmakers up on Capitol Hill was actually upset because there were not more female crash dummies. Here's Pete Buttigieg, cut, 32?
I don't think it's woke to build good infrastructure. I just saw Fox News taking a run at me for the work that we're doing on safety, including the use of crash test dummies that simulate men, women, and children. And somehow this is considered a woke priority to have female crash test dummies, even though that's something that's been around for a very long time.
What about gay crash test dummies? What about are there any transsec Buttigieg, sir? I just wondering. And nobody ever asks the questions I want to have asked at these meetings. Fox and Friends weighing in on President Trump. And again, Fox, now the anti-Trump channel. But President Trump suggested yesterday that he will not be attending the upcoming Republican debates. Now, there are two that we know of. One of them is at the Reagan Presidential Library, which is run by a former guy from the Washington Post. And there has been a shift in politics at the Reagan Library. Certainly something Ronald Reagan would not have approved of. And Trump said absolutely not to that debate. But the other debate, the one that Fox News is hosting in Milwaukee, well, he's also hinting that he will not do that one because he's concerned about the fairness of it all. So my question to you, do you agree with President Trump that he should not be going to these debates, that he should skip the Republican primary debates? 844-747-8868. Here's how Fox and Friends tackled that story. Cut 31.
Rana, going back to the debates, can I ask you something? So the Democrats don't want, the top Democrats don't want a debate with Joe on the stage. I saw yesterday that Donald Trump on Truth Social said, I see that everybody is talking about the Republican debates, but nobody got my approval or the approval of the campaign, Trump campaign, before announcing them. When you're leading by seemingly insurmountable numbers and you have hostile networks angry with Trump and MAGA-hating anchors asking the questions, why subject yourself to being libeled and abused? So did you talk to him about the debates? Is he in, or is this just what he does? He did this in 2016.
Working the refs.
I talk to President Trump all the time, and we've talked to all the potential candidates. We've let them know the schedule. We've announced the debates. The first debate's going to be with Fox in Milwaukee. But every campaign and every candidate's going to have to make a decision. Do I want to participate? He's going to have to make that decision. I think he'll do it. And President Trump never shies away from a debate, and he did very well in a debate. They did 2020.
He does. He skipped hours in 2016.
He did. He skipped one, but, you know, he was on the center of the debate stage in 2016, and he never left it. So we'll see what happens.
All right. That's Ronna McDaniel, from the RNC chair. Trump says that nobody bothered to ask him. He says, I see everybody talking about the Republican debates, but nobody got my approval or the approval of the Trump campaign before announcing them. So the question is, did they need to get Trump's approval? So if Trump says no debates, I'm not going to allow any candidates to debate. Is that Trump's right to do? Now, I've been on the record and I've been very clear about this, going back to Herschel Walker and that debacle of a Senate race. And Herschel Walker refused to debate his Republican opponents. And that was bad on a number of levels. And it showed, and we learned our lesson again in the election, that Herschel was not the right guy. He just was not the right guy. So my take has not changed. I have believed this from day one, and I don't care who you are, you should debate. Now, Trump knows he's not going to get a fair shake. Fox News Channel hates his guts. Fox News hosts hate his guts. And they're going to do everything in their power to bring him down. But Trump already knows that. And when he goes into the debates, which he should do, when Trump goes to debate, he needs to go armed with that information. So as soon as they try to make a play, Trump can smack the ever-loving daylights out of him. And quite frankly, when he does that, his approval numbers are going to go through the roof. But you got to go into these debates thinking that everybody, from the janitor to the person asking the questions, everybody is against you. And they're going to try to trip you up. And if you do that, then you're going to come out the winner every single time because you just have to be prepared. But I believe it is a great disservice to the voters for a candidate not to debate. And I will not ever waver from that. So I say, Mr. President, do your homework and go debate. Take out all your opponents. That's what you got to do. You say, what about Ron DeSantis? Well, that guy can't figure out if he's running or not. I mean, what was it he said just the other day when he did that whole bobblehead move? I am not a candidate. I am not a candidate. Not a candidate. Why are you asking me these questions? I'm not a candidate. Okay, we get it. You're not a candidate. Why didn't you just say so? Because he's certainly acting like one. But DeSantis is being somewhat, he's trying to be smart here, but it's coming off weird. because he think, I mean, we all know what he's doing, but he thinks that we're stupid enough that we don't know what he's doing. And I just don't get that. So there you go. Should Trump debate or should he stay home? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I mean, honestly, who do they have left at Fox that can actually anchor the debate? They got Bret Baier. That guy's a raging leftist. What are they going to do? Have Bret Baier and Geraldo? And who's the liberal chick on the five? Tarloff, is that her name? I don't. Why? What about Kennedy? She's a leftist. All right, we'll put her up there. Trump would eat their lunch. So anyway, my prediction is Trump shows up for the debates. And if he doesn't, that is a lost moment. But I say show up and go to town on everybody. Just wear them all out. That's what I say. All right, 844-747-8868. Let's go to James, listening to us on The Talk Station. James, what's your take? What should Trump do here?
I mean, I understand why you wouldn't want to go into a hostile environment like that, because last time that he debated, it was like 6 or 7 or 8 against 1. So, I mean, you got to understand that part of it. I mean, and nobody was fair. Chris Wallace treated him bad. I mean, the people at Fox have no love for him. So you can kind of understand why he wouldn't want to go in and debate that. What do you think?
Oh, I get it. I completely get it. But I say you got to suck it up. You want to be president of the United States. You got to suck it up. Go in there and smack the holy living daylights out of all of them.
Yeah, I understand that part of it, too. But the last time he was there, man, I mean, it was like everybody all at once was against him and they wouldn't let him talk. Okay? So if they had, I mean, maybe he should have a little choice in the moderator. I mean, that would be fair. I mean, everybody hates him except the American people. Maybe they could pick somebody that was more fair to him for a moderator.
I'd volunteer. You know what? I'd even pay for my own way.
Hey, man, that would be great. Why don't you do it?
Could you imagine? Could you imagine, James? Man, I'd trigger all the Republican lineup, the entire Republican lineup except for Trump. I'd trigger them.
Hey, man, as long as you're fair. I don't see it. What? I mean, give everybody the same amount of time. Don't attack him. Give him, be respectful to all of them. I don't see why anybody would have a beef like with that, man. I mean, I think it would be fair.
But you're right, James.
Volunteer,
man. He's never been, hey, I'm there. I will contact the Presidential Commission on Debates, and I'll throw my name in the hat. They won't even have to pay me. I'll do that as a public service to the United States of America as a patriot. That's what I will do. James, you have given me a great idea. You have inspired me. Thank you, sir, and appreciate that call. 844-747-8868. By the way, a lot of people are upset. I can't believe he would just go after the Reagan Library. That's sacred ground. Well, yeah, but it's kind of gone a little woke-ish, if you know what I mean. Because Reagan's not around anymore. And I'm not too sure the people running the Reagan Library are actually very fond of Ronald Reagan. Just saying. All right, let's go to Steve. Steve, where are you calling from?
Todd, I'm calling from Winston-Salem.
North Carolina. Very nice to have WSJS, our great affiliate there.
Yep, WSJS. I'm a big fan.
Thank you. What's going on there? Somebody moving?
No, I'm just calling you while I'm working. I'm multitasking.
I love it. Man, I try to multitask, Steve, but I, you know, the last time I did that, I nearly broke my finger off.
I tend to agree with you. You were asking about should Trump debate. Normally, especially if they're a new candidate, I think they should. But we know Trump. I mean, we know where he stands. He's often on TV or radio giving his opinion. You know, there are a few choice questions I'd like to ask some of the other candidates running, but I think Trump ought to sit this one out and just sit back and watch.
You think so? So just stay home, drink that diet Coca-Cola, and watch him go at it.
Yeah, we know where Trump stands, you know. But let's hear some of the other people.
That's a good point. I hope that's your dog.
No, it's not.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, if you need any help, just give us a holler back, Steve. All right, Steve, we're gonna see what others have to say about this. It's becoming a topic for, ironically, debate, and we'll see how it plays out. I think at the end of the day, he goes. That's what I think. Steve, thank you for listening to WSJS. We love our great listeners out in that part of the country. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Should Trump debate? Or should he stay home? We'll be right back.
Charlie Kirk here for Lone Star Transfer. Many timeshare owners are upset that their yearly dues continue to increase. With an A-plus rating at the Better Business Bureau and over 900 five-star testimonials, Lone Star Transfer is the only company you could trust, guaranteeing the release of all liability to your timeshare in writing and a specific time frame. My friends have helped over 18,000 owners legally and permanently get out. Start the new year off right with a free no-obligation consultation at 844-310-3116 or at LoneStarTransfer.com.
Wow. Folks, I ask a question in my new book that'll be coming out later this fall. And the question is, why is it, and this is the question we ought to be asking the drag queens and all of these people that are so determined to get your children into these drag time story hours, or they want your children to frolic with the men in the nightclubs. And anybody who stands up and says, no, that's wrong, is labeled a homophobe or a transphobe or a dragphobe or whatever kind of a phobe. But there's something going on here, and it is this it's not just this normalization of behavior and this confusion of sex and gender. This is from the group Gays Against Groomers, which is actually a 501c3. And they're standing up against this radical transgender movement. Now, you may or I'm just going to read this, and you can make your own decisions here. But there has also been an effort to normalize pedophilia. They're actually calling it that in many places, and now called MAPS, minor attracted person. So they don't want us to use the term pedophile anymore. They actually want us to use this other term, minor attracted persons. Yeah, they're called pedophiles. Anyway, Gays Against Groomers just put up this breaking news alert on Twitter. A transgender representative in Minnesota has introduced a bill that will remove the exclusion of pedophiles from the protected class of sexual orientation. This means it will be illegal to discriminate against child rapists. Gays Against Groomers goes on to say, this is what we have been sounding the alarm on. There is a concerted effort to normalize the sexualization of children and to legalize pedophilia. This is just one more step toward the end of that end goal. We need everyone to join in this fight before it is too late. So you can go to their Twitter feed and you can actually read. They actually have a copy. They screenshotted the bill, and it would remove any terminology related to pedophilia. Shocking, but not surprising, but it is still shocking. That brings me to a Montana state representative who is in hot water. I'm telling you, these state house fights, bonkers, bizarre. Montana State Representative Zoe Zephyr, that cannot be her real name, told lawmakers they would have blood on their hands if they banned gender-affirming medical care. Take a listen.
We need access to the medical care that saves our lives. And these are hollow words coming from someone whose amendments are going to make it harder to access that care. The bill says it does not prohibit social affirmations. That's not necessarily true. It prohibits the use of state buildings for advocating for or allowing social transitioning. It says that it allows the access to psychotherapy that treat Montanans struggling with their gender identity. If you disallow the use of the medical care that is accepted by every major medical association. If you disallow that care and don't allow people to have access to that, the only therapy left is either A, meaningless, or B, conversion therapy, which is torture. And the only thing I will say is if you vote yes on this bill and yes on these amendments, I hope the next time there's an invocation, when you bow your heads in prayer, you see the blood on your hands.
Oh, my God. Well, Republicans are upset with her, and they're not letting her talk again.
Charlie Kirk here for Lone Star Transfer. Many timeshare owners are upset that their yearly dues continue to increase. With an A-plus rating at the Better Business Bureau and over 900 five-star testimonials, Lone Star Transfer is the only company you could trust, guaranteeing the release of all liability to your timeshare in writing and a specific time frame. My friends have helped over 18,000 owners legally and permanently get out. Start the new year off right with a free no-obligation consultation at 844-310-3116 or at LoneStarTransfer.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Let's head over to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good friend from the great state of Utah, Congressman Chris Stewart, joins us. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing well. What an honor you called me a friend. That's very kind. Thank you.
You know, Congressman, a couple of things. I know you guys have been pretty busy up on Capitol Hill today. What can you tell us before we get to South Korea and China? I'd like to get an update on this debt ceiling. I know that there were some early morning hours.
Yeah, which isn't terribly unexpected. I mean, that happens. This is a complicated bill, by the way. It's kind of a generational bill if you're interested in cutting government waste and government spending, and if you care at all about the debt. This is an important bill. But those kind of late-night changes were very technical. I mean, they aligned some dates with requiring the work requirement, a few things, nothing substantive at all. And, you know, we met together as a conference this morning, and I think we're going to actually be able to get this passed. I've said that for the last week or so, maybe 10 days, that I think everyone's going to coalesce behind this. We're seeing that. But, oh, my gosh, Todd, $4.8 trillion in savings. It stops the 87,000 IRS agents. It caps government growth to 1% a year for the next 10 years. There's all sorts of good stuff in this bill. But more than that, it finally compels Biden to come to the table. He's got to come out of the basement in the White House and actually engage us. And he just can't ignore us after we pass this bill. It will force him to come and negotiate with us, which is what he should have been doing 2 months ago.
I go back to the House Freedom Caucus, and they're pretty adamant about this during the back and forth of, you know, the votes of whether or not, you know, McCarthy was going to be Speaker. And they were, you know, it was pretty clear, we will not allow anyone to raise the debt ceiling. So is there any way to get what needs to be done without raising the debt ceiling?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, we'll have to raise the debt ceiling because I think there's, you know, bipartisan agreement generally that we can't default on our previous debt, and I think that's a bad outcome for everyone. But the question is, can we use this as a time to impose reforms and savings like we have done many, many times in the past? My gosh, President Biden says, I won't negotiate. Well, people need to remember there was a New Year's Eve negotiation that took place between President Obama and then Speaker of the House, John Boehner, and the chief negotiator was Vice President Biden. Now, he's been involved with these negotiations for generations now. I mean, 187 years or however long he was in the Senate. This isn't anything new or dramatic. So, yeah, we're going to have to raise the debt ceiling at some point, as much as many of us hate to do that. I mean, Todd, we've spent $12 trillion in the last 2 years. That should frighten the life out of every one of us. And this is a vehicle, this is an opportunity for us to say, we're not going to raise the debt ceiling unless you give us some cost savings, like we've been able to do in the past. Sequester is a good example of it. That's really what this battle is about, is can we save some money? Can we cut government spending while we're in the process of doing this?
So what happens if Biden says, nope, we're not going to do this? What happens then?
Then there's going to be a default. There's no way in the world we're going to vote for a clean debt ceiling. It's just not going to happen here in the House. Again, I don't want a default. I think it's bad policy. It's bad for the markets. It's bad for economy. It's bad for workers. But there's no way in the world I would vote for a clean debt ceiling. We're just not going to give him a blank check. You're not going to give him another credit card and go spend another $12 trillion over the next 2 years.
Is there a reason? Is the clock ticking on this? Is that why this thing had to be done in the dead of night and it's being rushed? That's the report we're getting is that folks were a little frustrated that this thing is being rushed.
Well, I understand why some people might say that, but I mean, we've been working on this thing for the last 2 months, and there was some work late last night, but it was very technical in nature. It was just aligning some of the language on the bill. There was no real substantive changes at all that took place last night or in the last few days. We've been working on this thing for, well, since January, actually, since Speaker McCarthy first said to President Biden, hey, we've got to sit down and talk about that. And then we started putting our ideas. This is what we would need in order to support a raise in the debt ceiling. And again, this is good policy. This is some significant savings. This is enormous savings. If this is our starting point, and if we can actually negotiate something close to this, it's a huge win for the American people. By the way, if you care about inflation, which is 100% driven by government spending right now, it's not supply chain interruptions. What nonsense. It's not Putin's price increase in the war in Ukraine. That's nonsense. It's all because of government spending. This is a huge bite at the apple to pull some of that spending back.
Someone sent me a note. They said, does the government have enough COVID money left to run through the end of the year?
Oh my gosh, I don't know whether to laugh or cry when you ask that. I mean, there's $200 billion, or give or take, because you know the accounting on this thing is nearly impossible to actually nail down. But there's hundreds of billions of dollars of unspent COVID money.
Well, if that's the case, why do we need to cut an emergency debt ceiling deal if we've got all that money laying around?
Well, because this is a way, because Republicans have already voted to claw that money back, not to spend that money. But that sits in the Senate because turns out Chuck Schumer disagrees with us. He'd love to spend trillions of dollars more. So we vote to save that money, to claw it back, not to actually have that money be dispersed. But Chuck Schumer won't. And so the debt ceiling is a way to compel him to negotiate on that or to give us a little room on that.
So I understand, and again, I appreciate you coming on the show to help us explain this, but I think a lot of the frustration among Republicans is that a lot of your colleagues campaign on, we're not going to raise the debt ceiling anymore, and you guys keep raising the debt ceiling. And I get it, you've got these concessions built in, but what happens, let's just say in 2024, you guys lose control of the House, what happens to that 14-year plan to reduce spending?
Well, that's a fair question. And, you know, look, I'm not going to be Pollyannish about that. The truth is that the future Congress could change previous law. But it does give us a framework. And once those appropriations process begin around a 10-year plan, there's a lot of momentum in order to keep those savings in place. So would I tell you that if we lose the House in 2024, God forbid, by the way, we not only need to keep the House, but we've got to win the Senate and the presidency, or it may not matter anyway, because the Democratic colleagues are so intent on just destroying and tearing apart the very foundation of our country. But let's say that, you know, worst case, and we do lose the House. Yeah, there's no question that the Democrats may come in and repeal some of this, or maybe all of it. They may try, but it's much harder for them to do it once it's actually put into law. And the second thing is, some of those cost savings will have already occurred. So there is, there's good news on that side. But yeah, there's no doubt, Todd, you have to fight for this now. And then you've got to continue to fight for it, because the Democrats aren't going to roll over. They're not going to give up. They'll certainly come back and attack this plan, you know, every year, whether they're in the majority or the minority. The fight will always be ongoing with them, because, again, they want to spend. They see no downside at all to having $32 trillion in total debt. They believe there's this magical fairy that can make money and that it doesn't have any cost at all to it. And it's an ongoing battle and has been for quite a while now.
Okay. Well, Congressman, I want to move on to probably the most important part of the news cycle, and that's what's happening in Asia. You've got the Biden administration. They're sending over a nuclear submarine to protect South Korea. What's that all about first? And then I want to ask you a question about China.
Yeah, so I was in the region recently, and you may know my background. I'm an Air Force pilot, and
right.
I spent a lot of time on national security. I sit on the Intel Committee. Every time I'm in the region, I come home, and I am more and more confident of this reality, and it's a stark reality, but it's true, and that is China is preparing for war in the South China Sea, and they're doing it as quickly and as aggressively as they can. And all of our military commanders feel that way. There's a united consensus that it's, you know, imminent. And when I say imminent, I don't mean by this weekend, but it's not 10 years away. It's probably something less than 5 years away. I could argue, I think it's 2 years or 18 months away. But there is a great sense of urgency among our military leaders. It's something that Congress is focused on, including Democrats, finally, by the way, who have come around to the reality that there's potential conflict there that just changes our world if we're not prepared for it, if we can't deter it.
You have the UK, among others, warning about this massive military expansion. I thought it was laughable because the UK's foreign secretary is actually urging China to explain their biggest peacetime military buildup because they're getting ready not to have peacetime, sir. That's what that's all about. And my concern is, are we prepared? Because I don't think we are with Biden in control of the Pentagon.
No, for sure. And is anyone shocked to think that this president, who's he and his family have received, you know, tens of millions of dollars, probably, and millions for sure from China, that they don't have the same sense of urgency or concern about China that the rest of us do?
Yeah.
And then it doesn't help, by the way, for a head of state like Macron to go there like he did 2 weeks ago and to prove to them. And
all right, let me jump in here, Congressman. Congressman, I'm not quite sure what's going on, but we have a horrible phone connection. So I think we're going to have to wrap it up. But we appreciate you coming on the program. And thanks for your, for your forthrightness on the debt situation and the intel on what's happening in Asia. Again, folks, Congressman Chris Stewart from Utah. And again, sorry about that bad phone connection there. All right, we've got to take a quick break. 844-747-8868. Are you buying what the congressman was selling? But again, you heard what he said. There are no guarantees. So if they lose control of the House, all of these things that McCarthy is saying, a 14-year reduction in spending, no, let's do it now. Let's make the massive cuts now. And I will go out on a limb, and I'm going to make a prediction. Biden's going to reject this, wholesale reject it, and then the Republicans are going to capitulate. That's what's going to happen. You mark my words on that one, folks. All right, we got to take a break here. Are you too concerned about this threat that's developing over in China? This is not good. And if we get into a shooting war with the Chinese, this is something that will be, you will feel the impact. Every single American will feel the impact of what's about to happen if China goes to war. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Charlie Kirk here for Lone Star Transfer. Many timeshare owners are upset that their yearly dues continue to increase. With an A-plus rating at the Better Business Bureau and over 900 five-star testimonials, Lone Star Transfer is the only company you could trust guaranteeing the release of all liability to your timeshare in writing and a specific time frame. My friends have helped over 18,000 owners legally and permanently get out. Start the new year off right with a free no-obligation consultation at 844-310-3116 or at LoneStarTransfer.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. I have to say, very impressed with some of the state lawmakers, the Republicans in Montana, taking a stand against that state rep, Zephyr is her name. And she was basically calling for the Republicans to have blood on their hands. I mean, basically, it was a threat is what it was. And so now she has been censured, and she will not be allowed to speak until she has apologized. And I say good for the Republicans for standing their ground. By the way, now the word is that we will not see the transgender manifesto of the Nashville school shooter. The voice you're about to hear is from State Representative Andrew Farmer. He is calling for this manifesto to be released, cut 23.
All of a sudden, next thing you know, we're not even interested in the manifesto. What do they tell you about this?
Nothing. You know, and that's my, I want to know more about the shooter. If we're going to make good policy, we need to know what's going on. We need to focus more on mental health. You know, they want to turn, well, it was the gun that did this or yada, yada. We need to focus more on the mental health. It's important for us to understand what was in the shooter's mind, what was going on, what type of medication was this shooter on as this person was transitioning as a transgender. You know, I don't know where that is. I think Metro PD is working with our Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, who does a great job, who's working with the FBI. But we don't know, and I don't know where that investigation is at this point in time, but I'd really like to. I think it's important.
And lastly, is your governor working on things that red flag laws or anything that might be learned from this situation?
Well, what happened was he gave us about a 16-page bill to look at less than a day before we were set to adjourn. To set good policy, we're going to have some time to look at what would be good policy for Tennesseans that and as I saw that bill, I understood the Senate wasn't going to move anything, and we just didn't have time to do anything at that point in time. But we're going to come back. We're going to take a good look at what needs to be done. We want to set good policy. We don't want to pass a law and come back and have to fix it.
Yeah, there you go. And I'll explain that in just a moment. But the issue here is why. Why will they not release this manifesto? So we understand from local police, it's the FBI that's calling the shots here. And the FBI is telling local police, you do not release that manifesto. So what needs to happen is some good-hearted patriot on the Nashville Police Force needs to leak that document. We need to see what's on it. The police chief, others who have seen it, say it is the most horrifying thing they have ever seen, and it keeps them awake at night. So what does that mean? What's that all about? So I have a thought about this. Is it possible that this individual, the transgender terrorist, that she didn't even write this thing? Maybe she pulled it offline. Maybe this manifesto is being distributed, because we have seen a very unusual lurch in the amount of transgender violence across the country. And for that matter, you've got the governor of Tennessee, the Republican Bill Lee, and some of his cronies, like a state representative named John Gillespie. And these guys are out there advancing gun reform legislation based on this shooting, when they don't even know the motive of the shooter. As a matter of fact, the police chief in Nashville said, hey, look, we've got laws on the books, but we had no, this person was not on our radar. So you can have all the laws on the books you want. It would not have stopped this person from doing what she did. And thank God that the Nashville police officers were there to take down this terrorist. But Tennessee has laws on the books already, and if you have a mental illness, you're on some sort of medications, you're not allowed to have a gun, period. So why do we need a red flag law?
Well, Todd, we're not calling it a red flag law. We're calling it...
No, it's a red flag law. By the way, there was secret audio recorded of these Tennessee lawmakers, Republicans. And they were saying, you know, we can't call it a red flag law, because then people will be on to us. The jig will be up. So we got to call it something else. We got to fool the people. And by the way, the guy saying that is a so-called conservative Republican. Ladies and gentlemen, this is unacceptable. And I don't know what to say. It's incredibly frustrating. We have two Republican state lawmakers that represent us where I live in Memphis, and both of them are supporting the gun grab legislation.
Todd, it's not a gun grab legislation. This is just red flag laws. It's going to keep all of us safe. Todd, if you don't support this, then you must endorse the shooting of children in the classroom. You're just a bad man, a bad, bad man, you gun lover, you.
Well, no, I don't want children to get killed in the classroom. I don't want anybody to get killed. But the fact of the matter is, law-abiding gun owners, by and large, are law-abiding. And this law is going to impact the law-abiding gun owners. So my question is, and I would like to see this data, And if you can supply me with this data, I will be very happy to change my position on this issue. But as near as I can tell, law-abiding gun owners are not going out there and committing these shootings. Period. If you've got information otherwise, let me know. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Charlie Kirk here for Lone Star Transfer. Many timeshare owners are upset that their yearly dues continue to increase. With an A-plus rating at the Better Business Bureau and over 900 five-star testimonials, Lone Star Transfer is the only company you could trust guaranteeing the release of all liability to your timeshare in writing and a specific time frame. My friends have helped over 18,000 owners legally and permanently get out. Start the new year off right with a free no-obligation consultation at 844-310-3116 or at LoneStarTransfer.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us. By the way, our telephone number, if you want to call in today, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, look, we get a lot of questions about our website. You say, Todd, there are a lot of ads on the website. Yes, that's how we pay the bills. We're able to give you our content free of charge because of the ads that we have. But a lot of you folks have said, well, look, we would be willing to pay if we didn't have to see these ads. And they're good ads. They're not anything bad. It's just ads. And so we've been working through this, and we have come up with a solution. So Substack is a really nice platform, and we are now able to offer all of my commentaries, all of my writings for you there, advertising free. But that means you do have to pay, and so we've worked it out where it's just $5 a month if you want our content without all the ads. So this is not a mandatory thing, but so many of you have asked about this, and we said, you know what, that's a great idea. So we have started a Substack, and just look for my name, Todd Starnes, and you'll see it, and it's $5 a month, which is a very reasonable, that's as low as we could go on Substack. So we're doing that, and so head over to Substack, and we will get you signed up, and you'll be able to get all of my content without all of the advertising. So be sure to share that around, and we would love to see you over on both platforms. By the way, that doesn't mean we're still posting the same content over on the website. But again, this is for those of you who are wanting ad-free copy. You're going to be able to do that over at Substack. So there you go. All right. And let me give you, I can give you the actual website address. It's toddstarnes.com/substack or something. Oh, toddstarnes.substack. .com. There you go. ToddStarnes.substack.com. And you'll see it. It's called Starnes Morning Edition, Faith, Culture, Politics. So again, ToddStarnes.substack.com. All right. Good to have you with us for this hour of the program. Want to play some audio for you. There is a there's a lot happening on the school level, and there's a group called Moms for Liberty. I love these ladies. They are freedom fighters, one and all. And they're doing things in the classroom that need to be done. And they're going after these woke school board members, going after woke school teachers, exposing un-American, ungodly, pornographic content in the classroom. It's crazy. Before we get to the interview that I did with Chris Cuomo over at News Nation, I want to share this story out of Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. A group of girls were just horrified. Freshman girls. Now, ladies, you remember when you were that age, a freshman girl is what, 14 years old? What, 13, 14, 15 years old? Freshman girls. And they're in the locker room after swim class, and something very traumatic happened to these girls. So they walk into the locker room to shower and change after physical education. There was another student in the locker room who identified as a girl, but he was, in fact, a boy. And he exposed his private parts to the girls while taking a shower. Parents are really upset over all of this. One parent said, I don't know where they're supposed to change. But changing in front of 14-year-old girls, 15-year-old girls, is not the place they should be doing it. They should have their own bathroom, their own place to go. Other speakers expressed frustration with how the school district, Sun Prairie School District, had communicated with parents. Be honest, one parent said. Be honest with us about your intention and communicate with us. When you are evasive, you lose more of our trust. But others, including students, say, what's the big deal? There's no big deal if you've got a butt-naked boy exposing his private parts to a bunch of 15-year-old girls in their locker room. Student Eli Gillitzer testified before the school board. Many more are coming to the board to call for the systematic targeted exclusion of trans kids, he said. What is the actual problem in this situation other than a trans student existing? Yes, excuse me, young man. You don't allow a boy to undress in front of a girl. There you go. So now lawyers are involved, and lawsuits are probably going to be filed here. This is crazy, absolutely crazy. So a lot of parents very upset. The school board is really not talking about this. Lawyers are getting involved. But this is the problem for biological girls. And it's time for the ladies of America, the ladies of the Todd Starnes Show, to stand up and speak out. And we have to speak truth to the culture. There's no such thing as transgenderism. If you are a man, you are a man. If you are a woman, you are a woman. There's no such thing as birthing this or birthing that. You are a mother or you're not. Period. That's how it goes. So anyway, I want to play some of this audio. This is a bit of a lengthy interview. Chris Cuomo interviewing Moms for Liberty, Cut 22.
Why do you guys get to decide which ideas are okay for a school library?
Well, first, I'd like to say that no one is looking to ban books. And Moms for Liberty certainly isn't. You should write the book. You should print the book. You should publish the book. You should sell the book. The book should go into the public library in your community if taxpayers want to pay for it. And so we're not advocating for banning anything. What we're talking about is curating content in a library. You wouldn't have the same books in a medical college that you would in a seminary. And just because a book is printed doesn't mean that it belongs in a children's library.
Now, when you say children, what do you mean?
I mean public school children, K through 12. Children do not have unfettered access to the internet at school, or movies, or music. But somehow, these books with these horribly explicit graphic content are finding their way onto bookshelves in public schools all over America.
Let me ask you something. Tina, would the book bother you as much if it were a male and a female doing animations that are instructional for kids to understand that type of sex relation?
So the problem with the books that our chapters across the country have concerns with, Chris, is that they are obscene. They are obscene and they are pornographic. This has nothing to do with if it's male and male, female and female, or male and female. They are obscene and they are pornographic. And you know, Genderqueer is just one of the many books. Here's My Body is Growing, a guide for children 4 to 8. I could read to you out of this book. It is disgusting. It is with a man and a woman, 20 years old. It's not appropriate. This is for ages 4 to 8.
And kindergarten through third grade.
And it says that Sabrina's vagina becomes moist and warm, and Marco's penis gets very stiff. Marco then pushes his penis into Sabrina's vagina, always in and out. That feels great for both of them. It tells you before this that they are unmarried and living together and 20 years old. This is appropriate for 4 to 8 year olds. This is found in grade schools all across the country. So in your opening statement, Chris, you talked about Governor DeSantis, and you listed books that Governor DeSantis has said he has concerns with, and that what you stated was false. Yeah. We've watched Governor DeSantis. We've watched his press conferences on this. Nobody in our organization, or does Governor DeSantis, have any problem with To Kill a Mockingbird or the other books that you mentioned. The books that are concerning to us and that are actually violating the law here in the state of Florida are pornographic and obscene by anybody's standards.
First of all, I didn't say your group. Second of all, I didn't even say Governor DeSantis. I'm saying some of the books and the groups that have come under the umbrella of what he's been talking about do want to ban those books. That's not made up. You should stick to your lane in terms of what your group does. That's why I have you here, because I don't think you're the same as a lot of these other organizations. If I thought you wanted to ban those, I don't think
that.
You have a very good argument. What I'm saying is there's a difference between K through 3 and up to 12. And then there's a secondary concern, which is, where does it stop? Which ideas do you guys stop at and get comfortable with? That this bothers you because it's openly pornographic and kids can get it. Okay, but where do you draw the line? And who gets to draw it?
Sure. So I think what's happening right now, as far as this conversation about book banning, you saw President Biden speaking about it in his reelection campaign video. It's become extremely politicized. And I think there are a lot of people that very much want to try to marginalize moms and dads and villainize us for being concerned about extremely explicit content being given to children in schools. It's important that we talk about, you're right, the truth here about the books that are concerning. Moms and dads are getting up at school board meetings and having their mics cut. We can't show these pictures on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter. They get censored, and we couldn't show them on CBS Sunday Morning News. So you ask us, where does the line start or stop? As I said it on the CBS News broadcast, let's set the bar really, really low. Let's just say no pornographic material, no rape, no incest, no pornography. In this book, this gentleman talks about being raped, anally raped by a family member who was an adult. Why was this in an elementary school, in a middle school, or a high school for that matter, Chris?
Come on,
so
Chris.
So the question then becomes...
No. Answer the question,
what
Chris.
What does this lead to? Now, I get it. You're picking things right now that I think are going to be within the range of reasonable for some people. Some people will say, no, you don't censor any ideas. You let it all be out there. I'll decide for my kid what book they get.
We're good. So, look, I just got a message. Todd Starnes, how could you do that? How could you air some of that awful stuff on the radio? You're just awful. You're a sinner. No. Let me explain this to you. A lot of you out there want to live life with your head in the sand, buried like an ostrich. But not on this radio program. You need to understand what's the kinds of books that have these moms outraged. And the very fact that you are horrified that mom read what she read on this radio program is the proof, the evidence, that sort of material is incredibly inappropriate for a five-year-old. A five-year-old. So you've got some work to do here, folks. And if you're a mom, I would join Moms for Liberty. There are chapters all over the country. So you need to educate yourself. This is not about banning Little House on the Prairie or To Kill a Mockingbird. By the way, liberals are actually banning those books because they say they're racist. Literally banning. What the Moms for Liberty groups are saying is, hey, that is age-inappropriate material, and it doesn't need to be in a public school library, period. Meanwhile, you've got the liberals out there banning To Kill a Mockingbird, Little House on the Prairie, Huckleberry Finn, Mark Twain, Dr. Seuss, The Cat in the Hat. All those kinds of books get banned, but they're going to let the children read about god-awful things. And those ladies are right. The Moms for Liberty, they're absolutely right. This is against the law. You give a child something like that out on the street, you go to jail. You do it inside the classroom, they give you a paycheck, courtesy of the American taxpayer. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Charlie Kirk here for Lone Star Transfer. Many timeshare owners are upset that their yearly dues continue to increase. With an A-plus rating at the Better Business Bureau and over 900 five-star testimonials, Lone Star Transfer is the only company you could trust guaranteeing the release of all liability to your timeshare in writing and a specific time frame. My friends have helped over 18,000 owners legally and permanently get out. Start the new year off right with a free no-obligation consultation at 844-310-3116 or at LoneStarTransfer.com.
All right, folks, and again, if you would like to sign up for the ad-free version of my daily columns and writings, you can do that by going to toddstearns.substack.com. That's toddstearns.substack.com. All right, let's get to the phones here. South Carolina, Bobby joins us. Hi, Bobby. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Todd. Yeah, in the wake of the situation with the libraries you were just talking about, something caught my attention. These librarians are following the trend of the entertainment studios. What's happened is, in the past, the entertainment studios would always be very careful with what movies they put in the cinema. But with the rise of OTT streaming services, they have decided the so-called Kyle Busch rule, named for a 2001 Champ Car incident when an underage driver was ejected, no longer applies, because with the cinemas, they've decided, with no Kyle Busch rule on streaming, we can push X-rated material onto the kids. And the librarians have decided, we're going to push the same X-rated material to the kids, because if it works in streaming, it works in our schools too.
Yeah, you know, Bobby, this is all coming from these library associations, the National Education Association, the NEA, just incredibly brutal. I mean, if you think the mob is bad, the teachers' unions are even worse. So this is all filtering down to the local libraries, and they're telling these librarians, these are the books you need to have in your libraries, and it's not just sticking them on the shelves, Bobby. But many times they'll actually create these transgender display tables and promote these books. They want these kids to be indoctrinated.
Yeah. And it's just, you think about it. Why do you think Netflix primarily pushes X-rated television to kids?
Mm-hmm. It's a great point. I mean, gone are the days of Mr. Rogers. I'll tell you that. And Captain Kangaroo. Go, Mr. Green Jeans. All right, Bobby, appreciate that call. Mr. Green Jeans, he was nice enough, but Captain Kangaroo, the hairdo kind of scared me. It was a little weird. Again, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rogers said it best many, many years ago, cut 33.
Boys are boys from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Girls are girls right from the start. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. Only girls can be the mummies. Only boys can grow up and be the daddies.
Thanks for the clarification.
Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine.
Well, thank you, Mr.
I think you're a special person.
Really, Mr. Rogers?
And I like your ins and outsides.
Oh, shucks. Thank you,
Mr. Everybody's
Rogers.
Fancy. Everybody's fine. Your body's fancy.
And so is mine.
Is mine.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers. Get a little misty when I hear that. But isn't it interesting, ladies and gentlemen, how simple things are? And that's why you need to pull your children out of public school. You do. You really do. It's insane. Put the schools out of business. That's what I say. Just put them out of business. Homeschool your kid. Get your kid to private school. Todd, I may have to work another job. It's worth it, right? Don't you want your kid to know their pronouns? Right? You don't want to have your kid confused like that. You don't want to have your kid coming home from public school hating America and hating you, right? Do you? I say homeschool. Get your kids out of the public school. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to be taking your calls. Oh, also, ToddStearns.com. Check out our website. Great stories today.
Charlie Kirk here for Lone Star Transfer. Many timeshare owners are upset that their yearly dues continue to increase. With an A-plus rating at the Better Business Bureau and over 900 five-star testimonials, Lone Star Transfer is the only company you could trust, guaranteeing the release of all liability to your timeshare in writing and a specific time frame. My friends have helped over 18,000 owners legally and permanently get out. Start the new year off right with a free no-obligation consultation at 844-310-3116 or at LoneStarTransfer.com.
Well, folks, this may be the biggest cover-up ever. New congressional documents prove China funneled more than $1 million to Hunter Biden and almost a dozen Biden family members. Big media is not covering the story, but all this week on Newsmax, Rob Schmidt is exposing the truth in his series, Beijing to the Bidens, the Cash Rat Line. Rob reveals the real story of China's big payoff to one of America's most powerful families. Every night, Rob asking the tough questions on Newsmax. And folks, you need to find out why millions made the switch to Newsmax with Rob Schmidt, Greta Van Susteren, Eric Bolling, and Mike Huckabee. Tens of millions. I did. You should, too. Make the switch to Newsmax today, now on all major cable systems. You can also download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. Want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good to have with us from Maryland's 1st Congressional District, Congressman Andy Harris. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Good to be with you, Todd.
You know, Congressman, before we get into this story about President Biden and his cognitive abilities, would like an update on how things are going on the debt ceiling debate. I know Republicans worked late into the night. How content is the House Freedom Caucus on what's about to be voted on?
I think almost all of our members are on board with it. I think it's still going to be a close vote, I believe. I hope it occurs this afternoon, and I hope we prove that Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden are both wrong, that the Republicans are going to stand up. We're going to fight for controlling the spending and the debt in our deficit, and shame on them for not wanting to negotiate without this.
I remember early on, I had, for example, Congressman Ralph Norman, when there was the big debate about whether or not McCarthy would actually be the speaker, that was the line in the sand for House Freedom Caucus. We will not be raising the debt ceiling. Is this a capitulation of that?
No. We've always said that we will be willing to, for a lot of us, vote for the debt ceiling increase for the very first time if it's coupled with very meaningful spending reductions that changes the inflection point of our spending. I mean, the bottom line is, we have to get our spending under control. This is our opportunity to leverage the debt ceiling. This is why Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer are so afraid of it, because they know this is a leverage point.
All right. Well, we'll be paying close attention to what happens, and I hope you guys know what you're doing. That's on this, because I am very nervous about Biden and his shenanigans. Let's talk about the president's cognitive abilities. Congressman Ronnie Jackson, who is the former White House physician, very concerned. What about you?
Oh, look, I think Dr. Jackson is absolutely right. Again, any physician who's been trained in observing the aging process looks at Joe Biden and says that's exactly what's going on here. And I have to tell you, it's not getting better. It's getting worse.
And to that point, I think we have some audio here. Cut number 20.
2.5 years ago, well, the supply chain, people look at, I mean, really bright people. Look at guess what? because of the pandemic.
I mean, it's, and it goes on and on and on. It's just not getting any better. Do Democrats, are they seeing what you guys are seeing and all the rest of us?
Well, I think they are. Todd, you've seen the polling. You know, less than 25% of Democrats think that Joe Biden should run again. I think the main reason is they look at him and they say, look, this is a feeble man. Look, everybody gets old. I get it. You know, I feel bad, you know, for him and for his family. But the bottom line is he's well past his prime. He is no longer able to do the job of the president, I believe. And that's why I agree with Dr. Jackson. He should submit. And the American people should insist that their president submit to a cognitive test.
And, of course, you are a physician as well as a Navy veteran. What is it about, you know, the especially elected people elected to higher office? I mean, you've got Dianne Feinstein, to some extent, even Mitch McConnell, who is out significantly, Senator Fetterman. Should we really take a long, hard look about the health requirements? I mean, I don't think there really are any, but I mean, it's almost looking like a nursing home up there.
There aren't any health requirements, obviously, but you know, there is the 25th Amendment. I have to tell you, what I find striking is that the Democrats, when Donald Trump was president, you know, were pushing to get the 25th Amendment you know, enforced to remove him from office, when it's pretty clear that Donald Trump runs intellectual circles around Joe Biden. And now there's no call for the same thing to happen for Joe Biden.
Well, you're not kidding. No doubt about that. Congressman, we've been also paying close attention to what's happening over in China. The administration announcing they're sending some nuclear submarines over to South Korea. How concerned are you about things ramping up over in Asia and the South China Seas?
Oh, we have to be very concerned about China. You know, next month, the World Health Organization is going to convene, and I think they might make a try to pass that treaty that where we would give up our sovereignty during a, you know, whatever they define as a public health emergency, give up our sovereignty here in the United States over to the World Health Organization, which is controlled by the Communist Chinese. The bottom line is the Communist Chinese have seeped into every aspect of society, into the economy, again, into the World Health Organization. They've built up a big navy. They've built up a big fighting force. And the difference is they've built up a military to use it. We build up a military so that we never have to use it.
Well, that's a fair point. And, you know, the question at this point, we talk about military preparedness. Do you think we would be ready to take on China if we had to?
No, I think what our struggle with supplying Ukraine has shown us is that we don't have a large enough depth in our supply chain. I think that there are aspects of some of our armaments that we are woefully undersupplied in right now because we've sent so much over to Ukraine. And I think hopefully we learn the lesson from this and we build up our military to where it needs to be to resist the onslaught of the Chinese and to some extent potentially the Russians, although the Chinese should be our major concern.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to wrap it there. I know you're incredibly busy. And of course, you said that vote expected sometime this afternoon.
I do believe it's going to be later this afternoon. If not this afternoon, it'll be tomorrow.
All right. Well, Congressman, appreciate you making time out of your busy day to join us this afternoon.
Thank you.
All right. Congressman Andy Harris out of Maryland, and he is a member of the House Freedom Caucus. And as you heard him say, most, if not all, of the House Freedom Caucus members are on board with this. The problem I have, folks, the Republicans are easy to be snookered, and as we heard Congressman Stewart acknowledge that if they don't win the House in the next election cycle, 2024, then all of these reforms go away and we got nothing out of it. So just something to think about there. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. All right, we're going to take a break. When we get back, more on Tucker Carlson. We'll be right back.
Charlie Kirk here for Lone Star Transfer. Many timeshare owners are upset that their yearly dues continue to increase. with an A-plus rating at the Better Business Bureau and over 900 five-star testimonials, Lone Star Transfer is the only company you could trust, guaranteeing the release of all liability to your timeshare in writing and a specific time frame. My friends have helped over 18,000 owners legally and permanently get out. Start the new year off right with a free no-obligation consultation at 844-310-3116 or at LoneStarTransfer.com.
All right, I want to share some ratings with you. This is from Monday. These are the only numbers out so far. Tuesday's numbers will be out later today. Talking about TV and cable news. By the way, everybody forgets about Neil Cavuto. He's sort of like that. Isn't there? There's like a fourth Spice Girl that nobody can remember. That's Neil Cavuto in the world of cable television. Cavuto's got a show on at 4 o'clock, and he's getting his clock cleaned by everybody, CNN and MSDNC. Then the 5 comes on, and the 5 is solid. Brett Baer is struggling at 6 o'clock. And then comes 7 o'clock, and by the way, Tucker Carlson, Monday night, Jesse Waters struggling there. Joy Reid is neck and neck with Jesse Waters. I'm telling you, folks, you have had a major impact on Fox News. This could get really interesting over the next couple of weeks. So here comes the 8 o'clock hour. Now, Tucker lost tons of numbers. But Brian Kilmeade, who was filling in on Monday night, managed to win that time slot. I think a lot of people were just tuning in to see what happened. But it's what happened afterwards that's important. The audience left, and Hannity came in second place to Rachel Maddow. Maddow, 356,000 viewers to, or rather, I'm sorry, 3,560,000 viewers to Hannity's 2.4. I mean, that's not good. Then Ingram, she lost as well to MSNBC. So the departure of, or the firing, rather, of Tucker Carlson already having an impact on the ratings, over $1 billion it's cost the network so far. And we'll see how tonight goes. Any of you folks actually turn off the channel? Did you cancel your subscription? I'd like to hear from you. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Richard in North Carolina, wants to talk about China. Hi, Richard. What's up?
Hey, it's what I am thinking is that the twin gods, small g's, that are being worshipped in our country, convenience and comfort, we've given up our war machine over the years. You know, it's incremental. We all know this. And as a result, you know, we're supposed to be always preparing for war but never seeking it. And I think if the Chinese show up, we just hand them the keys.
All right. Well, Richard, I'm sorry. We have got a bad phone connection. I'm sorry about that. We'll, you know, try to give us a call back, but my apologies. So this is interesting. Peter Thiel, he is a major donor to the Republican Party, a major donor. Mediaite is reporting that Peter is going to sit out the 2024 Republican primaries. And here's the reason why. He says he's sick of the culture war. Now, I knew we were going to be talking about this soon, but you need to prepare yourself. All you evangelicals out there, you've got to prepare yourself for what's about to happen to the Republican Party. It's been undergoing a metamorphosis under your very eyes. So Peter Thiel, who is the founder of PayPal, he is very upset because a lot of you folks in the Republican Party care more about culture war issues than you do things like China and the economy. And he says that he's done. He is incredibly upset because all the Republicans do is talk about abortion, transgender bathrooms, and other cultural flashpoints. Now, you might remember that Thiel endorsed former President Trump, spoke on his behalf at the RNC in 2016, but did not support the 2020 reelection bid because he was frustrated with Trump. Thiel did bankroll his preferred Republican candidates in the midterms, which, by the way, caused him conflict with Mitch McConnell. So you say, Todd, what's going on here? What are you talking about? Why should evangelicals be concerned? Because the Republican Party is getting ready to jettison your issues, and it's already started. And let me say this. It's not just the alphabet activist issues. It's not just the LGBT community. They're getting ready to get rid of all the cultural issues, and I'm talking about abortion. Now, Ronna McDaniel gave us a hint of what was to come when she blamed the Republican losses in Wisconsin just a couple of weeks ago on pro-lifers and the abortion issue. So you will see Republicans making the argument that issues like abortion are causing them to lose at the ballot box, and that the Democrats are using issues like abortion to drive younger voters to get involved in the political process. And to an extent, that's exactly what's happening. But the problem has been the messaging. And the Republicans have failed to adequately message the life issue, the abortion issue. And until they do that, they're going to continue to lose elections. But it has nothing to do with being pro-life. Matter of fact, Generation Z is one of the most pro-life generations we've got. We're just not doing a good job of messaging and marketing and branding. And that's Ronna McDaniel's job. She's chair of the RNC. That is her job to do. But she's not going to do it. So anyway, I just want to prepare you folks for what's coming down the pike here, because you're going to have others that have big money, big pockets, and they're in the same boat Peter Thiel is. They don't want to be involved in a culture war fight. For them, this is about economics. This is about fiscal responsibility. This is about China. That's what this is all about. Oh, I think we've got some. Do we have that Kamala Harris audio? This is crazy. This is Kamala Harris just a few moments ago.
And so don't get in our way, because if you do, we're going to stand up and we're going to organize and we're going to speak up and we're going to say, we're not having that. We're not playing that.
We're not playing that.
What is that? She sounded like AOC when she got all, I don't know, whatever. That's wow. Can you imagine the second dude having to come home to that every night? My goodness, that voice. Oh, goodness.
Go make me a sandwich, honey.
Yep, because he has to do that. You know, he's the first dude. So his job is, you know, he's got to do the dishes now, and he's got to clean the house. And, you know, I'm just telling you. Play it one more time, Kyle.
And so don't get in our way, because if you do, we're going to stand up and we're going to organize and we're going to speak up and we're going to say, we're not having that. We're not playing that.
Yeah, I'd be calling the divorce attorney. Yeah. So, irreconcilable differences. And I can't stand to hear her voice. Oh, KJP hanging out with the lesbians. This is, by the way, Happy Lesbian Visibility Week, cut number 25.
So this week is Lesbian Visibility Week, and as the first openly queer person to hold the position of press secretary for the President of the United States, I see every day how important visibility and representation are. Today, I'm honored to welcome the cast of The L Word and Generation Q, two Showtime series that chronicle the friendship, the love, the challenges, and the triumphs of strong, funny, and resilient queer women. Up here with me are the amazing, talented actresses who play those very roles. Jennifer Beals, Leisha Haley, and Catherine Minnick, and the show's co-creator, writer, and executive producer, Eileen Shakin.
Well, there you go. I have to apologize. I thought earlier today it was Lebanese week, and I was really in the mood for some good food. falafel? No. No, I did. I thought I misread it. I'm having a vision issue, so every now and again I'll miss a word. So I thought I did. I thought it was Lebanese Visibility Week, and I think that's a great thing. I love Beirut, the Lebanese people, wonderful people. They have lovely food as well. But it's not. It's lesbian week. So what is this? What does this mean? Lesbian visibility. I mean, are they walking around where we can identify them? Is that it? Do they have like little, hi, my name is blank, I'm a lesbian. You know, oh, hi, Marge, how are you? I don't know. Or do you just like grab some binoculars and do like bird watching? And you're just, you know, you got the binoculars out and you go, up, up, up. I see some flannel. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. there you go. Happy Lebanese week, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
When you're struggling with your mental health, the world can seem pretty heavy. Like no one understands what you're feeling, or you're not sure how to ask for help. But here's the real truth. You're never in this alone. 988 Lifeline's trained crisis counselors are available 24/7 to offer the help and support you need to make it through. No judgment, no stigma, just someone to listen. Text or call 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, day or night. 988. Hope has a new number.